Just follow me. How great is our God. How great is His name. He's the greatest one. Forever the same. He's robust.
Glory, glory, glory.
worship and adore him. What a mighty God we serve.
Oh, yes,
what a mighty God we serve.
Oh, yes, what a mighty God we serve.
Oh, angels bow before him. We worship and adore him.
Oh,
what a mighty God we serve.
Oh, yes,
oh, oh, what a mighty God. Worship and adore him. What a mighty God we serve.
Oh, yes.
Oh, what a mighty God we serve.
Oh,
what a mighty God we serve. Oh, angels bow before him. We worship and adore him. What a mighty God we serve.
Oh, yes.
Oh, what a mighty God. Before him, we worship and adore him. What a mighty God we serve.
Oh, yes.
Oh, what a mighty God we serve. Oh, what a mighty God we serve.
Oh,
angels bow before him. We worship and adore him.
Oh, yes.
What a mighty God we serve.
Thank you, Lord.
Oh, what a mighty God.
Tonight, isn't it? Feel this wonderful spirit and be with my brothers and sisters and feel your spirit and the way you get it and worship and pull on heaven, draw from the wells of salvation. I love coming to church. This is such an integral part of my life. I don't know how I could ever get away from it. It's just too involved. You know, one time I got interested in prayer, and I started going through the scriptures and found a lot of interesting scriptures, found out a lot about prayer. I found out, did you know that God knows what we need before we even ask?
Right.
That's in the Bible, you know? And then I found out he even knows our thoughts and he knows our intents. And so I started asking God. I said, God, if you know what we need before we even ask, and you know our thoughts and our intents and our desires, then why do we have to pray? And that's a good question. You know, I have seen some people, and I went through a spell like this, that, God, if you know all that about me, I don't need to do anything. I can just let you handle it all. But I started looking through the scriptures, and there's many reasons, many reasons that God wants us to pray. But the one that always, in fact, I said, God, it looks to me like you don't even need my permission to answer any of these prayers. He said, no, I don't. He didn't tell me that face to face, but through the scriptures, he pretty much let me know. He said, no, I don't. He said, I don't need your permission, and I don't need you to pray to have these things accomplished. If I want to do those things, I will. But I felt like through the scriptures and prayer and research, I found out probably the main reason God wants us to pray is he wants to commune with us. That when you have a problem, when you don't feel good, when you have a financial problem, when you have a loved one that's not doing well, what's on your mind continuously? You know, we can go through the day and we can be joyous, but we always seem to have a tendency to start thinking about our loved ones again. And God, I found out, just wants to commune with us with the things that are important in our life. And that's one way for him to get us to talk to him. And because he already knows our need, but he uses that as a vehicle to cause us to come to him for his assistance and for help. And he will help us and he will assist. And I love that about God. And then I also found out this one thing about prayer. If I do all the talking, not much seems to get accomplished. I found out that if I would go to God in prayer and in supplication and in thanksgiving, all of those things, and if I would just be silent for a while, he would talk to me. Has God ever talked to you? You know, sometimes when you're busy throughout the day, I don't know about y'all, but in my job, I get there early, and when I get early, it's run, run, run the whole day. And I don't have much time, I hate to admit it. My mind, for that 8 or 9 hours that I'm there, my Lord is Pulaski County Special School District. I'm the servant to the school district. They pay me, they provide the things for me. I need to do to meet their needs, but that's the right thing to do, to be a servant unto them, because who was it? It was Brother Whitlow. No, it was Brother, what was Brother Whitlow's friend from? It was Brother Whitlow. Was Brother Whitlow one time. And let me say this about your work, and I think you should be an example of a Christian life at your work, but you've got to treat them right too. I found out that they aren't going to keep you very long unless they're a Christian organization and has Christ as their head, but they're not going to keep you very long if all you do is talk about Christ to everybody around you. They're going to want some carnal productivity out of you, you know. Brother Painter's talked about that. When he gets to work, he puts his mind on the job to try and solve problems. And I do the same thing when I get there. It's one problem after another. It's this conflict and that conflict. And this contractor needs this and this person needs that. So I set my affection, I set my attention for my 8.5 hours while I'm there to do the best that I can to that employer that I have. But then when things calm down a little bit, or maybe when I'm eating my peanut butter and jelly sandwich, you know, in my truck driving from one work site to another, it gives me time to think about the Lord. But as soon as my break is over, as soon as I get out of the truck, there we go again, Brother Painter. I found out it does pay to work hard. That's how you're going to get promoted. It's the same way in the kingdom of heaven. I think when we come to church, we ought to get all these, our job. There ought to be a separation. Just like one time, you know, someone came to Jesus and said, you know, should we pay taxes? Of course, you know, Jesus had that. He said, well, give me one of these denariuses. He says, whose superscription is on this denarius? And they said, Caesar's. And Jesus said, therefore, I say unto you, render unto Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and unto God the things that are God. I think when we work, we ought to give it our 100%. And when we come to church, we ought to give it our 100%, Brother Painter. I ought to leave those things behind. I don't want to be one of those that sits over there thinking about, oh, this problem at work, or oh, that problem at work, or, but I want to give my 100% into whatever I do for the Lord, to put Him first. So I'm thankful for those things. We're learning those things. But then to learn to be still and to listen what the Lord has to say to me. I remember when I started going to a body church. I got saved in a Pentecostal church, and we had good moves of the Spirit, but we were always noisy and we were always doing something. You had to be busy. You know, I love what I love about the body of Christ and the way we do things is that it's okay to have a quiet time in the service. But when we were out in Babylon, we had to fill it up with everything. That you had to have an order. At this time, at 7:37, so-and-so is going to get up and sing Amazing Grace. And then at 7:43, we're going to take up the offering. And then at 7:52, Sister So-and-so is going to give a report on the finances. And then at 8 o'clock, the pastor is going to get up and he's going to talk for 25 minutes. And then at 8:52, we're going to have the all these things. It's hard to find room for God to move outside of the plane that we have designed for our services. But don't you love it at times? I'm not talking about real long lulls. You know, I'm not talking about when your palms are sweaty and you feel butterflies in your stomach and you've already told God, you can't make me get up. I'm not talking about that, Lowell. I'm talking about where we sit still and the Lord lets us know that He's in control. He's in charge of this. I'm going to lead you on to the Red Sea, over into the Promised Land. But I remember when I first came to the body, I had to make myself sometimes slow down because I was one of these. I just wanted to do everything 100%. If we were going to dance, I was going to dance until I dropped. You know, if I was going to worship, I was going to worship and I was going to holler and I'd scream. And there's nothing wrong with that. Absolutely nothing wrong with that. But I started slowing down a little bit to see if the Lord wanted to speak to me. I'm always saying something to Him. But I found out He's wanting to say something to me. So I would get out and I'd start worshiping and I would slow down. I'd still be in the Spirit, but I'd slow down and inevitably the Lord would speak to me in that still time. When there's commotion maybe all around, I would slow myself down and I found out this is what the Lord is saying. But sometimes I can become so clamorous, the Lord's talking but I can't hear. Oh, God, help us to slow our lives down, to give a little time, not to be noisy toward Him. We should pray. We should worship Him. We should adore Him. We should go before Him with supplications. But then to be still and let the Lord tell us, I am Lord. I love that about Him. That's why at times I love it when we have a little lull in here and you can feel the Lord working. So I'm thankful here to be in the body of Christ tonight and in this church, and I wanted us to go take some of these prayer requests before the Lord. I'm not one of those anymore who believes that we shouldn't take needs before the Lord, because I've seen answered prayers. I've seen God answer prayers for many, many people in here. The Lord's answered many of my prayers. And no, He doesn't have to have my permission to do it, but it is nice to know that we're talking to Him, that we're in His will, you know. So let's pray for Brother Wilson. Let's keep praying for him. And then Sister Inez is out sick tonight. Let's pray for her. And then Sister Boyd is staying with Sister Bonnie tonight. Let's pray for Brother and Sister Smith. They're down there in sunny Florida going to a meeting. Let's pray for them, that God would help them. Let's pray for Brother and Sister Wallace. Let's pray for them, that God would... We have a lot of prayers here. What other requests do we have? Sister Fisher. Sister. All right, for Sister Donna and then for unspoken prayer request. We're going to have some visitors this weekend. Also, some of Brother Al's family are coming in to be with us, and possibly some of my family are going to be here. So let's pray that God would help them to get here. Brother Stewart, Yes, Brother Daniels and Brother Jerry. Let's pray for them. Sister Laura. Daughter-in-law Jessica, another set of twins. We're excited about it. Yes. Pray for who? Yes, yes. They're supposed to get some bad weather in Oklahoma and Kansas. We'll pray for them. Brother and Sister Crow, yes, let's pray for them. Brother Fisher. Right. Let's pray for Brother Dodson. Okay. Let's pray for Sister Holly. I know she's always raising her hand for an unspoken prayer request, so let's remember that too for her. Sister Fisher. Okay, let's pray for them. They've been coming so faithful. Yes. Sister Sandra. Joshua. All right. Many of you here know him. Let's pray for him. I'm sorry, Sister Lisa. All right. Let's pray for Sister Lisa. God would help her to find the perfect job. We could have the ushers come forward also. Take this time to receive your tithes and your offerings. All right. If there's no more prayer requests, let's stand and let's take these prayer requests before the Lord. Let's let Him know our heart. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for your goodness, for your mercy, God. We're so thankful that we can come and gather in your name tonight, Lord. Bring all these prayer requests before you tonight, God. We're a people that are looking toward you for Jerusalem, Lord, for our health and for our finances and for our loved ones, all of those, Lord, that have wandered away from your care. Lord, you know how to affect their lives, God. Bring them back, Lord. Jesus, Jesus, for Sister Inez, God, touch her tonight. Brother Wilson, God, touch him. Encourage the family. Give him strength, Jesus. All those in Wichita, Lord, in this bad time of weather, Lord. Sister Donna, Brother and Sister Wallace, God. God, we're needy people to bring these things before you, Lord. Sister Holly's unspoken prayer request, Lord. Brother Dodson, touch his body, Lord. Sister Bonnie, Lord. Brother and Sister Smith, as they labor for you, Lord, in Florida in this meeting, God. All those in the Dominican, Lord, that we've been able to affect, God. Touch them physically, spiritually, financially, God. Glory, hallelujah. Help us tonight, God, in our service, Lord. Come in. Touch your people, Lord, and bless this offering, God. Use it for your kingdom, for your glory. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. All right, you can be seated.
God is greater than all. Our God is greater than all.
Praise God. I'm waiting on y'all, and y'all are waiting on me. We're all waiting on the Lord. God's good. We've had a beautiful day in Arkansas today. It's been pretty outside. The pollen, though, is brutal. Everything's yellow. Pavement's yellow. The concrete's yellow. Cars are yellow. The water's yellow. Everything's yellow. Brother Weiniger said his shoes are yellow. Pollen is, it's tough. Spring allergies get to you and you don't feel like doing anything. When we went to Springville, I didn't really feel like singing. It was all congested and everybody around me was singing. A lot of their songs is mostly congregational singing. You don't, their PA system isn't as loud. In fact, the first night we were there, a brother was trying to get everybody's attention to send them downstairs for dinner, and you couldn't hear what he was saying because they weren't used to cranking the PA up over a crowd that big. And so anyway, I was standing there beside his brother, and they were all just singing top of their lungs, you know, and I just didn't feel like singing at all. But I do tonight. Praise God. I come in tonight and had a good prayer here tonight. You know, sometimes you pray loud, sometimes you pray soft. And I had a good prayer here tonight before service. I'm thankful that I can go to the Lord in prayer. Yeah, in our Bible reading right now, we're I always get my stories mixed up. The boy Samuel, right? When he heard the voice of the Lord. And so he was in the middle of the night and he's sleeping. Here's his name, Samuel. And he goes to Eli and said, "Did you call me?" He said, "No, I didn't call you. Go back to bed." Nothing worse than being woke up out of a dead sleep. My kids wake me up out of a sleep and what's wrong? That's your first thought. What's wrong? And nothing, Dad. I'm just not feeling good, you know. Well, of course, you know if they wake you up, there's something wrong. I was in Springville. There was a brother there from Orlando, and he was asking where I was from and just getting acquainted. He was talking about Brother Linger, and he said, "I'll never forget." He said, "I'll never forget the moment when I found out Brother Linger died. And I won't either. I'll never forget it. I was laying in bed. It was about 3 in the morning or so, and Brother Dotson, Grandpa, called me. And it just woke me up out of a dead sleep. I'll never, you know, sometimes you get messages like that and you don't know. And so Samuel, he got woke up, heard his name. And then 3 times it was. He went to Eli, said, "Did thou call us me?" He said, "No, but if you hear it again, say, 'Yes, Lord.'" Yes, Lord. And so, as Brother Durham was saying here tonight, it's important for us to find a place where our mind is free, where we're not bound by, you know, all the conditions of today, the distractions that we have in our lives, where we're relaxed enough, we're calm, in tune with God, so that when He speaks, we can hear Him. That's one thing they talked about at that minister's session there in Springville, is they talked about Can you hear the voice of the Lord? How do you hear the voice of the Lord? And I mentioned this already, but it's a challenge. You know, I heard it tonight, Sister Bryant's songs. I heard a witness from the Lord in her songs, you know. And your testimony is a witness to me. And, you know, thank God for the technology that we have today. And somebody send you a message as an encouragement. Or you read something, you know, that somebody posted on their wall, and it's optimistic, you know, an encouraging word, something that just, you know, brightens your day, or maybe provides you with an answer to a question that you have. It's a wonderful thing that we have, to where we can communicate. We can communicate with each other. The Lord can speak to me through you. The Lord can move upon me with His Spirit. I can get a feeling or an unction from the Lord. The Lord can talk to me in a dream. When we moved to Little Rock, I've told this before, but still looking for another confirmation that it was the right thing for us to do. And I had this dream that we were telling the folks at home goodbye. Where we were from, we were waving at them as we was walking out the door. And it sounded a little silly, I suppose, but in the background, I could hear that song, "Country roads take me home to the place where I belong." And it was Little Rock. We were telling them goodbye, that we were leaving there and we were headed to Little Rock. And that was the place where we belonged. And so we moved down here, Brother Weiniger. God spoke to me in, you know, ways like that. And sometimes God uses, you know, He uses people, you know, oftentimes who don't listen. The truth is, Brother Leninger told me to move to Little Rock when I was 18 years old. And I resisted. I thought I needed to stay in Springdale and bear up under that load. And I did bear up under that load. But the truth is, my life probably would have been different if I'd have obeyed the man of God. And you know, it's delicate. We all have to have our own conviction. You know, the Bible says that you're saved by the word of your testimony. Well, the word of your testimony is your confession. And your confession is your conviction in an audible way. What you confess, the Bible says that he that knoweth to do good and doeth it not is sin. When you make a confession that this is the right, or this is what I need to do, people will hold you accountable. People begin to expect, you know, we don't have a membership role in this church, but we know who the members are, because they're the ones that support, they're the ones that work, they're the ones that throw in their effort, like Brother Durham was saying. They're the ones that, when it's church time, they come to church, ready to go to church. And so, we're making a public profession that we're a child of the Most High God. And we use that through the Word of God. We use that through the songs that we sing, through our testimony. The Apostle Paul, I feel this way sometimes. The Apostle Paul, he made a statement. He said that he had to preach the Word of God. He said it's a dispensation of the gospels committed unto me. He said he couldn't escape it. You know, there's people that their conscience is so seared, it's so calloused over, that it's so tough that, you know, you couldn't, there's no tenderness. Their conscience is so seared over that there's no tenderness to the Lord. You know, you could have miracles right in front of them. You could have somebody's most sincerest testimony being given, and they totally just zoned out. They're not even clued in to anything that's going on. God, help us. Help us to be tender, to be sensitive. What a wonderful song that was that the Martin family brought to the body of Christ. To be sensitive to His Spirit. To be able to hear Him when He speaks. My Lord. Apostle Paul, he talked about that a little bit in the fifth chapter of Galatians. He talked about waiting on the Spirit. He listed a couple things about the Spirit. He listed wait on the Spirit. He listed walk in the Spirit. He listed live in the Spirit. And there was one more in there. I should have wrote them down. We'll gather it here in just a minute. Here in Galatians 5:3, he said, "For I testify again to every man that the circumcised, he is a debtor to the whole law. Christ has become of no effect unto you." He was talking, you know, that he's saying you could go out and obey this Jewish law, but that's not going to make you clean. That's not going to draw you close to the Spirit. He said, "Whosoever you are that are justified by the law, you are fallen from grace, the grace of God's Spirit." Something that we received but didn't deserve. That's grace. Something that you received but you didn't deserve. He said, "For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision availeth anything nor uncircumcision, but faith which worketh by love." Whose love? Christ's love for you and your love for Him. He said, "Ye did run well." He said, "Who did hinder you that you should not obey the truth?" He said, "This persuasion cometh not of him that calleth you. A little leaven leaveneth the whole lump." He said, "I have confidence in you through the Lord that ye will be none otherwise minded. But he that troubleth you should bear his judgment, whosoever he be." So, and then he says, "And I, brethren, if I yet preach circumcision, why do I suffer persecution? Then is the offense of the cross ceased." He said, "For I would that they were cut off which trouble you. For, brethren, ye have been called unto liberty, but use not your liberty as an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another." I missed a verse here. Let's see. There it is, Galatians 5:5. He said, "For we through the Spirit wait for the hope of righteousness by faith." We wait in the Spirit. We wait in the Spirit. He said, "Brethren, you have been called unto liberty, but use not a liberty as an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself." You know, my wife and I, we were talking about on the way into church tonight. We can complicate the gospel. Just as we can, you know, I'll bring it down to my home. Gladys and I could complicate our home. We can make all these rules, and I've seen fathers do this to their children where, you know, they had to have, you know, take for example a military father where the bed had to be made a certain way and you had to be able to bounce a quarter off the sheet. You know, they had to get up at a certain time. They had to be dressed and ready at a, you know, to where you've got all these rules and confines and you know, one variance or one drift or one slight adjustment to that, and now you've broken the rules, and you create an environment where there's no tenderness, there's no forgiving, there's no adjustment, there's no room for love to work. Well, if we're not careful, we can do that with the gospel in such a way that there's no permission, there's no grace in how we work with people, to where it's just, if we're not careful, we're just trying to create a statue, something to be proud of. But I'm going to tell you, songwriters, poets, preachers, testifiers, leaders, those aren't statues. People that rise above the norm and bring gifts, and bring, you know, an extra touch. They bring something special. Those aren't statues. Those are people that have allowed themselves to not be bound by somebody's expectation necessarily. I'm not saying escape the Word of God. I'm not saying forget the Word of God. But just like, you know, in our instruments, our musicians, yes, you read the notes on the page, and yes, you can play the notes on the page, and that will make a melody. And there are times when that's very important. But there's also times when it's important for a musician to take that instrument and figure out, what is that extra? What's that little pizzazz, or that run from one chord to the next? There's times when there's the Lord expects you to add a little extra into your testimony, a little extra into your serving Him. There's times when the Lord expects you to go above and beyond the expectation that you know, society or even this church has put upon you. I think Brother Brett's mentioned this a time or two, where service a need as it arises. Well, you know, some people, they can't even, I don't want to use extremes, examples. We all know that they exist. But if you see a brother in need and you withhold the good, the Bible says, how dwelleth the love of God in you? And so he said here, for all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this: thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. He said, but if ye bite and devour one another, take heed. If you nitpick each other, oh, so-and-so, you know, they got a spot on their white shirt. They wore that suit last service. Or their tie, you know, their tie's a little crooked. I get that. And no one's picking on me. Anybody here is welcome to straighten my tie. Does it need it right now? No, just kidding. But if we're not careful, we'll nitpick each other. Bite. He said, if you bite and devour one another, you're just going to be consumed. You know, consider this. Would somebody want to come in this church? If you were a stranger, would you want to come in here and be and see a bunch of people biting and devouring each other? No. You're coming in with an expectation to be loved. That's our job, even to love the unlovable. He said, this I say then, walk ye in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. Now, he goes on to name the lusts of the flesh, but the end result is the same. If you bite and devour, you'll be consumed. If you fulfill the lust of the flesh, you're just going to consume each other. You're just going to rob each other of your strengths. He said, walk ye in the Spirit. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. He said, but if ye be led by the Spirit. So he said, wait on the Spirit. Walk in the Spirit. Then he said, if ye be led by the Spirit, ye are not under the law. Now, I'm not dismissing the fact that if when Brother Michael Smith is up here directing the band, he has an expectation that the band members are going to hit those notes on the page. That's his expectation. When they practice a song, the expectation is that they're reading the notes on the page, because as a group, they're bringing those notes, that four-part harmony, they're bringing that all together to make that song. So there's rules. You can't just jump out of those rules and expect everything to be, harmonic. So I'm not dismissing that, but there are times, though, when, and I know that I have, and I'm sure these other musicians will agree, there's times when you play in the Spirit. You absolutely just feel like the Spirit of God is at the end of your fingertips. Or, you know, if you're playing a horn or whatever, where you are so overcome that it's like the Spirit is playing the notes for you. It's a wonderful feeling. You can be led by the Spirit when you get up to testify and your hands are sweating and your heart's about to jump out of your chest, and you just know that God has a word for you to share. You're speaking in the Spirit. Wake up in the morning and you get a song on your heart. Or you start to pray, or you read the Bible and just like something just clicks. Go on your job and you're dealing with these problems or whatever it is that comes along. Some people, I guess there's some people who have jobs that don't deal with problems. I can't even imagine. I don't know what a job like that is. But isn't it wonderful whenever you go to deal, when you take that first step and you feel God just right there stepping with you. And you just know, today is going to be a good day. It happens. It happens, Brother Craft. Walk in the Spirit. Wait on the Spirit. He said, if you are led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. Now, the works of the flesh are these. And he said, these are manifest. Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envies, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like. I mean, the list goes on. He said, and such like, of which I tell you before, as I've told you in times past, that they which do these things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. The list goes on. The list goes on. We know it. The band song tonight. There was the last verse of the band song said, "Let me forevermore, lead me forevermore in paths that are right, that someday I'll be found worthy to stand clean in your sight." The expectation is that we're going to be clean. The realization is that we're not. That's the dirty truth. The dirty truth is we still have a lot to work on. Everybody knows that. You guys know it. Y'all know it about yourselves. We see it in each other. What'd he say, though? He said you can fulfill the whole law with one word: to love your neighbor as yourself. Well, you know, there's always the one thing. There's one thing I ask God for every day. Every day, I ask God to forgive me. I covet His forgiveness. Every day, I covet His forgiveness. I beg Him to forgive me. I beg Him to have mercy on me. The very things that I'm asking Him for, I'm asking from you guys too. And you're asking from me. I want them. If it's good enough, if it's so good that I want it, I want you to have it too. I want to love you so that we'll stand together clean in the paths of right. He said, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy. He said it's peace. It's long-suffering. It's gentleness. It's goodness. It's faith. It's meekness. It's temperance. Against such, there is no law. Against such, there's nothing stopping you. There's nothing. You'll never be punished for having meekness. You'll never be punished for having temperance, joy, patience, peace, love. I injected patience in there. Goodness, faith. Those are not punishable offenses. You get that? They're not punishable. In fact, those are the offspring or the fruit of walking, waiting, being led. And then he went on to say, living in the Spirit. He said, they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. My Lord, he said, walk, wait, live, be led in the Spirit. And you'll produce love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, meekness, temperance, faith. My Lord. Then he could have, you know, Peter, not to be outdone, he followed that up, didn't he, over in 2 Peter 1. Add to your faith joy, peace, gentleness, meekness, temperance, patience, godliness, brotherly kindness. Might have missed one there. And charity. There's no law against us behaving that way. There's no punishment for doing that. Now, I should say, the ungodly world will punish us. They did our Savior. He did all those things, and they crucified Him. We recognize that. We live in a state today. The governor signed into law a potential threat to all homeschool and private school families. Just simply, they can, if you got a concerned neighbor, could say, oh, I don't think these kids are getting a decent education. That's automatic investigation by DHS. They have to. They're now compelled by law to investigate. So we're at threat. We've got a Republican governor in the state of Arkansas that vetoes a law that protects religious freedom and then signs into law that hinders our freedoms. God help us. I'm not saying that the society that we live in today isn't going to punish us, isn't going to take advantage of our meekness. But I am here to tell you that being meek is not a sign of weakness. In fact, being meek is a sign somebody who has incredible control. Somebody whose strength, whose inner strength is such that they can endure hardship, hardness as a good soldier. Paul, he cautioned me. He said, don't be offended for a word. We're to bring our spirit under subjection. We're to bring our nature under subjection. You know, it's a slippery slope when we don't practice bringing ourselves, when we don't bring this old man and his evil deeds under control. We're not to be ruled by our spirit. Brother Durham, I appreciate how you presented that. That yes, it's true. God does not need to hear from us. I mean, He doesn't need our permission to meet our needs, but He covets our position, our opinion, our prayer, our communion with Him. He covets the time because He knows that the time we spend with Him is less time that we spend serving ourselves. The time that we spend, even in this environment, this setting here tonight, is less time that we spend serving and fulfilling and walking in the lusts of the flesh. It makes Him happy. He told His disciples, He said, don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together, as the manner of some is. We're not to do that. We're to come out here tonight and we're to put a little pizzazz, a little extra something in our testimony. Make our song just a little more interesting. We're to make our prayer just a little more determined. We're to make our preaching, our reading of the Word of God a little more exciting, thank God. We're to make this gospel so compelling, thank God, that it'll provoke somebody to change their life. It'll compel them to forsake their old habits. My Lord, what a wonderful thing this is. Jesus was preaching there. The Bible says, and the people were so enamored with what He had to say that they were quiet. And they could hear His words. The Bible says that His words were carried on the wind. I'm sure that there was even little children sitting there quiet. There was such an authority, such an issuance of hope. How did He say that here in Galatians 5:5? He said, for we through the Spirit wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. There was such a... Jesus brought those people, Jew and Gentile alike. There was a hope that followed Him, an inspiration that followed Him, that those people even wandered out and they followed Him to the point where they didn't even have food or provision for their next meal. And Jesus told His disciples, He said, what are we going to do here? He said, these people need to eat. And the disciples said, send them away. He said, no. He said, bring me the loaves and fishes. Bring me that basket there. And He began to hand it out. Do you know that's what He's doing for us here in this church? And I know sometimes it feels like you walk out of here empty-handed. Like you don't have a loaf in your hand. You don't have a fish to share. My Lord. There's times, though, when the Word of God becomes so alive. There's times when the Spirit, when the experience that we have in this church is so real, is so life-changing, that we walk out of here, and my Lord, we don't just have a loaf. We got a whole bushel full, and we're ready to share with God's people. We're ready to share with the stranger on the side of the road or in the grocery store. We're ready to share with the people that we meet on the job or along the way. We're ready to share with our families and our friends. There's times when we find ourselves waiting here in anticipation, quiet, and the Word of God's going forth across the wind, thank God, and we begin to get excited, and we begin to get hungry for the Word of God, and those bushels, those loaves, they begin to multiply, and they begin to multiply, and multiply, and multiply in each and every one of us. And it goes from just that little boy
to you, to me, to our friends, our loved ones, our co-workers. Oh, my Lord. Those fruits of the Spirit, that love and that joy and that peace begin to take, they begin to take the place. They begin to replace the angry and the strife. They begin to replace the biting and the devouring. They begin to replace the despair and the frustration. Oh, God, that joy and that peace and that love that we're looking for, it begins to well up in our lives, and it doesn't just become something that we talk about, but it becomes something that we live. It becomes a gospel of love in our life. We begin to be led by the Spirit. We begin to walk in the Spirit. We begin to live in the Spirit. Hallelujah. Praise God. It's all because of the Word of God and the Spirit of God being made alive in our lives. Jesus, He worked with His disciples. They weren't perfect men. You know, even the truth be told, they probably were very uneducated. They're probably very unqualified for the tasks that He called them to do. Some of them were. The Apostle Paul was a Pharisee of the Pharisees, he said. And, you know, he said he counted everything that he learned as dung. He set it all aside. He set everything that he had aside. Oh, if I could just do that. If I could just, and I'm not saying forsake the body of Christ. I'm not saying forsake these truths that I've received from the Lord. What I am saying, though, is if I could just set all my my predeterminations, all my prejudices, all my expectations, if I could just set it aside and live in the Spirit, live in the life and freedom and the living Spirit of God. Whoa! I mean, just imagine, you know, the Apostle Peter, when he was walking down the road and that person was sitting there sick and blind, and Peter was walking down the road and the man said to him, he said, look on me. Peter said, look on me. He didn't get up that morning and say, I'm going to walk down a road and heal a blind man. He was living in the Spirit. Spirit of God touched him. He said, hey, look on us. Silver and gold have we none. But such as we have, we give. He was giving. He was living. He was sharing. He was walking. He was being led. Praise God. By the Spirit. It's a mystery. The Bible says I'm missing the first part of that scripture. The kingdom of heaven groweth, it's not groweth, it might be, and men know not how. I'm missing part of that. This work here, it's not by might. It's not by power. There's people in this city that are so much more qualified when it comes to talents and gifts. Money and position and authority and oratory of abilities and things. There's people in this city that are so much more able to do what we're doing here tonight. But I'm going to tell you something. You're here tonight. You're here tonight. Gladys and I, when we moved to this church years ago, it fell our lot. We had had a number of different Sunday school teachers through the years, and I think Brother Curtis and Sister Karen were the Sunday school teachers, and then it became Gladys and I's turn. And she asked me, she said, well, I don't feel worthy to do that. I don't feel like it's our, you know, I just don't feel like we're qualified. I told her then, and I'm telling her today, that, and I'm telling myself the same thing. We may not be doing the greatest job. But we're doing the job until God brings somebody greater along. I was thinking about that today. When King Saul, I have always held a little bit of disdain for King Saul because of the way he treated David and the different things that he did. But did you know that, and I could go back and find the scriptures in Samuel, but did you know that he was despised?
In fact, the Bible says that God, when God spoke through Samuel to the children of Israel, he said, because you said, give us a king. And he said, and he classified it like this. He said, this great evil that you've desired is upon you. How would you have liked to have been King Saul, the very first king of Israel, and been referenced as being a great evil? What a burden that man had to carry. You know, he didn't disappoint. That's a joke. But still, just, you know, here the man is to be king, and he's considered to be a great evil. But you know what? It was still his job. God called him to be the first king over Israel. God called him to do that. And that was his job. And you want to know something else? His reward is between him and God. Paul told the Corinthian church, he said, I think it's the Corinthian church, he said that we're not to judge another man's servant. And he was talking about God's servants. We're not to judge each other. I don't want to pick you apart. I don't want to nitpick and bite and devour. I want to love, love, love. I want to love with the same expectation that I have an expectation that God is going to love me no matter what. And I want to convey that same love to you. Not just you, but you're here tonight. Praise God. I mentioned this recently. God calls the available. The greatest ability is availability. That's you and I. I realize it. I recognize it. I see that. I know it troubles us sometimes. But be not discouraged. If you feel like you're being shortchanged, or if you feel like you're empty, or if you feel like that what you're doing is perhaps in vain, or you know that there's no return on it, let me tell you something. There is no law against the love of God. There's no confinement. There's nothing. There's no punishment. There's no boundary set against loving God's people. And your reward is fantastic. I mean, just imagine for a moment that you had the ability to set aside all your prejudice, all your reluctances, anything that troubled you. Just imagine for a moment that you had the same power to love like God loves. What a wonderful world this would be. What a wonderful church this would be. What a wonderful home you'd have to just love unconditionally. My Lord, praise God. What a wonderful Savior we have. Oh, hallelujah. I love Him tonight. I know I don't love Him like He loves me, but I'm sure going to try. I'm going to try to love you the same. Y'all pray for me. If I cross your, if I step on your toes or hurt your feelings, or if I don't show, the right affection, forgive me. I'm working on it. I'm trying. I wouldn't want to do anything. Jesus, He told His disciples, He said, if you offend one of these, my little ones, He said, it'd be better for you than a millstone is hung about your neck and you're cast into the sea. In other words, it'd just be you better off dead, is what He said. Just be careful, ladies, of how we treat each other. Just be careful how we interact with each other. There's so many ways that you can be offended. You know, you can be offended for a word, and sometimes the offense is right. Sometimes, you know, you can. Sometimes they did mistreat me, you know, or you, or whoever the case may be. Sometimes they're just mean. Yeah, they are. Yes, they are. You know why? It's the lust of the flesh. If you walk in the Spirit, live in the Spirit, led by the Spirit. If you wait on the Spirit,
If you with patience wait for the hope of your salvation, if you wait on the Spirit, you'll not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Praise God. Well, what a wonderful day we live in. The ministry of God's gathered together in Jacksonville, Florida, to work out more of the salvation of God. There's people all across this land that are counting on the ministry of God to work together in harmony and peace. The ministry themselves are counting on that also. They have a deep love and respect and admiration for each other. And I have a love and respect and admiration for them and the sacrifices that they're willing to make for God's people. This is a wonderful thing we have. This, being in the body of Christ and this ministry, the Bible says that there's safety in the multitude of counselors. We're in a safe place tonight. We always have questions. There's always things that trouble us sometimes. But we're in a safe place, and we're trusting the leading of the Lord, and we're trusting that the ministry is doing the same. And I believe that they are. So we'll want to continue to pray for them this week as they're in this meeting. Brother Durham mentioned that we're going to have company Sunday, which is wonderful. We'll come out expecting that. We have a family night here, Saturday night, 6 o'clock. And we'll have some company there too. Wonderful. Bring your board games and your chicken feet and your basketball shoes or whatever it is that you want to play, and volleyball, or bring your $5 per person for your chicken spaghetti. For everybody younger than Neth, it's $3. Sorry, Neth, you got to pay $5. If you want ice cream, it's $1 extra, and if you want a soda pop, it's also $1 extra, but you get free refills, so that's pretty awesome. So we have that Saturday night, 6 o'clock here. Friday night, I'm going to try to visit Brother Wilson. And he'd like for some of us to go visit him and have a little church service in Ward, Arkansas, at the corner. Cuckle Burr Road and Craft, with a T or without a T? With a T, Craft and Cuckle Burr Road. So we'll probably try to meet there about 7:30. If anybody wants to join me and my family, you're more than welcome. I don't know how many people we can cram into your home, but we'll make room. Everybody slide over. Tighten up a little bit. Either visit with me or Brother and Sister Crafton about that. And that'll be this Friday night, 7:30. Maybe go over and have some songs, maybe some testimonies, and just have a little church service there. Brother Wilson, he wanted to be here last weekend, but his health prevented him, and so he's asked that maybe we could bring the church to him. How about that? I like the sound of that, too. So everybody's welcome. If you have a song or a guitar you want to bring, please do that also. Service here, Sunday morning, breakfast at 9:30, Bible study at 10. And this is dinner day, right? So we have evening service, or we won't have an evening service. We'll have service, Bible study at 10, service at 11. And dinner, and then we'll stick around, clean up a little bit, and then have the evening off. Pray that everybody has a safe journey tomorrow as you're about your way. Want to remember the folks in Oklahoma and Kansas. We know the master of the wind. We know that God's in control, as Brother Talley said on many occasions. God's still on the throne. He's still on the throne, and so we're trusting Him in all things. We know that our life can be hid in Him. So let's pursue it. Let's pursue to live, to walk, to be led, to wait in the Spirit. Praise God. Let's stand here tonight and be dismissed. Take our loved ones and to the Lord in prayer and just give Him a praise. Hallelujah, Lord. What a wonderful Savior You are, Jesus. What confidence we have in You, Lord, that You have all things in Your
You hold all power in heaven and earth. The whole world's in your hands, Lord. Our little bitty life, our little bitty world's in your hands. And the world of our friends, our loved ones, those that are sick or in harm's way. Dear God, watch over us and keep us in your care. Go with us this week. Move as we go in the Spirit, Lord. Move on us and direct our steps that we could be a witness, that we could bring joy and happiness and peace and love, oh God, to your people. What a wonderful Savior you are, Lord. We give you praise in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Praise God. Good night, everybody. Have a good week.